Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the InsideSecure 2017 earnings conference call. I now hand over to Amadeo D'Angelo, Chief Executive Officer. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good evening to all. I am Amadeo D'Angelo, as the speaker said. I am here with Richard Lecouvreur, our General Manager and CFO for InsideSecure. We are here to talk about the results of 2017 and briefly to explain the status of the business of InsideSecure. 2017 has been a quite successful year, and I am very pleased because the company was in a transformation period in 2016, a big transformation that we had from 2015 when we were mainly a semiconductor company into a software company. We had a stronger growth in our core business as a revenue, and we did two acquisitions last year to strengthen our product offer. Year-on-year revenue, as you see from the press release, we did a 9% growth to 38.8 million in 2017. If we take an indicator that is important to us, that is the new business and new customers on new licenses, we had a 37% growth year-on-year. Our EBITDA, it went from 6% in 2016 to 23% in 2017. If we take out a special customer that we have in U.S. that give us royalties, and you take just the core business activity that we are focusing on, we had in reality a 20% growth of revenue year-on-year. We have a stronger liquidity now of $46 million compared to $26 million in 2016, even though we did the two acquisitions in the meantime. We have decided, and I am strongly motivated to capitalize on the market acceleration that there is into the security environment and the stronger dynamics that we see in IoT and automotive that will increase our investment in 2018 for exploiting further growth in the years to come. If you have the presentation in front of you and you go to page four, there is a slide that will show you our positioning into the market. The core activity of InsideSecure in embedded security that, as you know, are going from content protection to application and payment protection to silicon IP and secure protocol. Thanks to the activity we had in 2017 and the two acquisitions, we are now increasing our footprint into selling security solution and not anymore just security embedded bricks, let's say, into the ecosystem. We start to sell the complete solutions, and also we started to introduce security as a service thanks to the acquisition that we have done in Finland last August on strong authentication and dual factor authentication to respond to new requirements that are from European community called the PSD2 to secure the mobile and the online transactions. I would leap, I can come back if you have questions, to some examples, because we heard many times from our investors that they like our company, but we are too technical, and we don't explain very well what we do. we put it this time for the first time some examples so that we can be, that can be self-explanatory. We were quite successful in 2017 with some design win for the automotive market. We've been designed from several semiconductor companies that supply the new evolution of cars, especially the electric cars that you see into the picture. So what we have done today, we have designed our technology into the root of trust in order to control and secure every microprocessor that are in the car. In the new Tesla car, there will be about 138 microprocessors. So we needed to secure the identity of every component and every microprocessor that there is into the car, and secure the communication between all the microprocessors always within the car. So this is the win that we had in 2017. We have a very we have seen that the automotive company start to, the car manufacturer, they start to contact us directly. While until now, we have focused mainly on the semiconductor, the chip manufacturer that we're selling to the car manufacturer. We had several companies, car manufacturers, that contacted us to better understand how they can secure the vehicle. In the short term, we will improve the coverage of the car as a hub to secure the communication among all the components and to supply application to do video protection, for instance, for payment, for content that is for payment, and even to have the vehicle as a payment vehicle. Like you can now pay with a mobile phone, you will be able to pay with a car that will have embedded the payment application. So this is an example where Inside Secure is positioning itself from the component to the communication protocol to the hub as a whole. Like if the car was a house where and you consider that an IoT environment, and we secure all the device and the hub itself. We could, in slide 7, our evolution is already in 2015, we won a design with the Toshiba to do secure metering for the house, you know, to do intelligent metering and protect the metering from hackers. And then we capitalize on partnerships, so we are developing a network of partners that take us more deeper into the industry. So what Toshiba has done is, after this experience of securing the meter, they started to secure printers and all the devices that are within an office, because to secure the communication protocol between all the equipment in an office, because as you know, the hackers today can enter, can break in the system at any point. So we have Toshiba that is distributing our technology into many other companies in Japan, and this is what we are capitalizing. So if you go to the next page, you see another example of a major U.S. leading bank that we started first to sell some anti-tamper and obfuscation software for all the application that they had, not only for payment, but also banking application in order to check the account or to do transfer of values from the account. So this this specific bank has more than 50 application that we are securing through anti-tampering and obfuscation. But what we have done during 2017, we have evolved offering also payment functionality and what is called HCE from Visa and MasterCard. We are now going, thanks to the acquisition that we have done, that was called Meon Trust in Finland, we are proposing, we didn't win yet, but to do strong authentication. This is very important, not only because it gives us the possibility to sell security as a service, but it gives us the possibility to enter into the banks as a marketing value-added supplier, because to the bank it will be a marketing tool to increase their revenue with their customers, not only to secure the application, but also to be a partner from a marketing standpoint. So our level of interface into the banks that in the past was between us and the security chief security officer of the bank is now also with the marketing department. With the content protection, if you go to page 9, we've seen that there is a possibility not only to decrypt and encrypt the video that are for payment to go on a mobile phone, but we have won a project, for instance, to secure online video in Lufthansa for the air traveling. So we are seeing that we can offer payment functionality with our client into the media company that are our client. We have experience with our technology with the NeoPost to protect online postage transactions during 2017. And we made some partnership to enlarge and not only to do content protection, but to do provisioning of the chips that go into the television or into the decoder, so that we can secure not only at application level or digital right management, but we can secure that from the device to the system, into the housing, into the airplane, or into the car. So if we go to slide 10, which is focused on our acquisition of Cypher Media, this company based in Los Angeles that we acquired in November 2017, this gives us the possibility to sell security as a solution. They have two main components. One is an anti-counterfeiting technology called camouflage, that is a camouflage in French, that is a way to help the semiconductor company when they have to make the, let's say, the diffusion of the chips. Before they make the diffusion of the chips, they buy this technology to make sure that any hacker that would like to do reverse engineering or counterfeiting, it cannot, with a electronic microscope, identify correctly the cells. But what is important in their product offering, that they develop for the conditional access market, which is the market for the pay TV, to do provisioning. This is a service, let's say we sell it as a solution because here the client do the provisioning themselves, and they get a license from us, but is the fact that they can insert at the chip level an identifier that you can call it root of trust, or anyway, is a unique number that identifies the chip into their life cycle, that after will be very useful once the chip is into the house, into the hospital, into the car, to identify the chip and to manage the device in which the chip is embedded. So if you go to slide 11, you see this the other acquisition that we have done in August that is to do two-factor authentication, or called the strong authentication, because as you probably know, in 2018 it is mandatory to do, if you do online payment or mobile payment, to have a two-factor authentication from the European Community for a standardization called Payment Service Directive, or PSD2. This, we have an offer here that comes with this startup where we can sell a license so that the bank or the telecom operator that want to manage strong authentication or dual factor authentication could manage their client themselves, or we can service it for a fee to do the authentication of the person who wishes to make a purchase. So this is in brief to explain the evolution during 2017 of Inside Secure. So if you go to slide 12, anyway, you see the level of customers that for a company of our size, we have achieved to be, to be part of their supplier list. And you could say why they buy from you. It is exactly because we have a unique approach, understanding the whole security from the chip itself to the whole endpoint, that is the device and the hub that manage the IoT devices. We are a unique company, independent, that has all this knowledge. As a matter of fact, we have competitors, but in each segment that we treat, the competitors are different. And this is, our advantage, that we can really monitor the security at every level from the semiconductor into the system. So if we look at page 13, 2017 in a nutshell, we have, for the first year, we were a pure software company in 2017, and we had a strong success, I would say, for our level of company in IoT and automotive market. We expanded, as I said, our product portfolio to reach the service deployment. And of course, this I announced also last year, that this year was a year where I had, in 2017, to hire key manager and refocus our sales force. During 2017, I changed approximately 50% of the sales force, and I hired 30% more of people into the field. So we built in the meantime a stronger balance sheet to fund the growth and potential acquisitions. So we acquired the two companies in 2017, but we are still, working and searching on some major acquisition. I would leave now the words to Richard Vacher de Tournier for the figures, and then we are ready to accept any question that you may have for us.
And in between, you will make some comment of the outlook for 2018. Thank you, Amedeo. So on the financial, so starting first with a few words on the basis of presentation and preparation of the 2017 financials. So we did apply in anticipation in our 2017 financials the new IFRS 15 revenue recognition standard. Nevertheless, it's mandatory only from January 1st, 2018. We did that because, we are able to present to you a 2018 set of figures over the next quarters that will be directly comparable to 2017. What is important also to bear in mind is that for us in 2017, the impact of the switch to IFRS 15, which to my understanding is giving headaches to many companies, has a limited impact on our figures. So had we applied the existing standard, the revenue would have been $200,000 different from the $38.8 million we report, and the operating income $400,000 dollar difference. So quite marginal indeed for 2017. Nevertheless, we do estimate that going forward, the use of IFRS 15 may have an impact on the quarterly distribution of our revenue. And for those who are interested in the last page of our press release, we do elaborate on those changes and what is at stake. So, as we have been doing since we are public, we are focusing our communication mainly on adjusted figures, which are non-IFRS financial measures. So we have been doing that consistently in order to exclude non-cash expense like amortization of intangible assets arising from acquisitions, share-based payments, and some other non-recurring expense like amortization charge. We are also focusing, obviously, on the continuing operations, so excluding the semiconductor business that we divested from in 2016. And finally, we are focusing our comment on the core business of InsideSecure, which is the software business and the hardware intellectual property component we license to our customers, and which exclude the NFC patent license revenue, which for those who follow us closely know that it's quite lumpy from 1 year to another. Okay. That being said, the financials in a nutshell, and as Amedeo explained, revenue for the core business was $38.8 million in 2017, which is up 9% compared with 2016. And excluding the contribution from a U.S. customer driving significant royalties, year-on-year revenue growth from the core business would have been 20% for this period. It was driven by strong license revenue, and we'll get back on that. Core business EBITDA was $8.8 million, which is 23% of revenue compared to $2 million a year ago, which was 6% of revenue. We do believe that these results show the successful transition of our company to a software-based business model. As said, revenue for 2017 was driven by strong license revenue. They increased by 37% compared to 2016. They are reflecting some strong sales activity with both new and existing customers across all the business segments that we serve. This includes increased traction in the IoT and automotive space, as Amedeo explained, and with new design win in our intellectual property components for cars or other connected devices. License revenue also showed our capability to bring bundled solutions both of silicon intellectual property and secure communication software protocols, which can be exemplified by a contract signed with Toshiba during the year and on which we had communicated earlier in 2017 and that Amedeo detailed briefly during his presentation. With respect to the core business revenue and giving you more color about the business, the company continued to leverage its strong position in content protection to support new applications for existing customers, such as virtual reality for HTC, online postage services, transaction services for Neopost, or in-flight entertainment for passenger devices for Lufthansa Technics being an affiliate to Lufthansa, the airline company, which is serving not only its parent company, but also external customers. InsideSecure continued to make progress in the payment space as well, with additional payment schemes win in Europe and in the US and Latin America, and with HC-based payment mobile payment software solution deployed also in Latin America, for instance. Again, we don't provide a preparatory mobile payment solution. We do leverage existing standards, mainly HC1, backed by Visa, MasterCard, and Google. Okay, we implement those standards and offer a white label solution to banks which want to deploy their own mobile payment solution. During the year, we increasingly focused on deploying bundled offer, and we demonstrated a solution with content protection, bundling the content protection, a payment, on-app payment, and a strong authentication. This was done during the annual IBC show in Amsterdam. Consolidated revenue for 2017 was $38.8 million. It is down from close to $50 million in 2016, as the company did not generate revenue from the NFC patent portfolio monetization program managed by France Brevet in 2017. And as a reminder, the NFC patent related revenue stood at $14.2 million in 2016, when France Brevet had signed three licenses with respectively Sony, Samsung, and HTC, which were all accounted for when it was signed when they were signed in 2016. Going now to the profitability. For the full year 2017, adjusted gross profit of core business grew to $37.6 million, which is 97% of revenue, as compared to $34.7 million in 2016, also representing 97% of revenue. And it does reflect the revenue growth and the product mix. As expected, on a consolidated basis, gross profit decreased from 2016 to 2017 from $44.5 million down to $37 million. As the company, as we explained, did not generate gross profit from the NFC patent licensing business. Okay, it did contribute for $9.8 million back a year ago. Operating expense, they decreased from $33.6 million in 2016 down to $29.3 million in 2017, as the company fully benefited from a lower cost base from the company restructuring and right-sizing plan that we initiated in 2016, and also from other one-time saving, not repeatable saving, we enjoyed in the first half of the year for $1.5 million, and also we benefited from foreign exchange gain for $0.9 million over the 2017 year. Adjusted operating income of the core business increased significantly from $1.2 million in 2016 to $8.3 million in 2017, which is 21% of revenue, due to both revenue growth and decrease in operating expense. Consolidated adjusted operating income was $7.7 million in 2017, with a negative contribution of $0.6 million from the NFC line of business, so to speak. Core business EBITDA was $8.8 million, again, 23% of revenue compared to $2 million a year ago, due to the successful transition of the company from to a software-based business model. Okay, on a consolidated basis, the EBITDA is also $8.8 million compared to $12 million a year ago, which included, again, the strong contribution from the NFC program. Looking now, and I'm at slide, for those who do follow the deck, slide 20. Looking now at the split, because we do believe it's important to show that, the split between the first half and the second half of 2017 operating expense. As anticipated and as explained earlier in our communication in 2017, we re-engaged with investment in the second half of 2017, notably in research and development and sales development. This is to seed sustainable long-term growth on software and silicon IP business. Operating expense in the second half of 2017 stood at $15.7 million, which represents a 15% increase compared to 2017. As I said, in the first half of the year, we also benefited from some one-time savings for close to $1.5 million. Going now from the adjusted income to the IFRS net income, the operating income under IFRS standard was impacted mainly by non-cash items and non-recurring items, three of them. First, the amortization expense related to assets from acquisition in recent years, including even if their contribution was marginal since the acquisitions were completed in August and October of Me and Trust and Cypher Media. So this came for the four acquisitions we completed since 2012 for a total expense, non-cash amortization expense of $2.4 million. This is to be noted that we did not recognize any impairment expense of the goodwill in relation with those four acquisitions. Second, we face some non-recurring expense in relation with the acquisition of acquisition projects, so not recurring expense for close to $1 million. And third and last, we did recognize a $2.1 million net non-recurring charge arising from the 2016 plan that we extended in 17. moving now to the cash position. In 2017, our core business generated a strong cash flow, and also we managed to increase significantly our liquidity position. As of December 31st, 2017, the cash position of the company was $46 million compared to $27 million a year ago. During the year, Insight Secure generated $5.1 million of cash flow from the operating business, which is a significant improvement compared to the previous years. Also, we made payments, as I explained, related to the restructuring and right-sizing plan initiated in 2016. These stood at $2.6 million. We did build a kind of small but nevertheless interesting war chest during the year. As we committed to do, we sold 100% of the WISeKey shares for $11.2 million compared to a par value of this asset of $11 million. For those who did not monitor Insight Secure a year ago, these shares were given to Insight Secure in exchange for the sale of our semiconductor business to the Swiss security company WISeKey back in September 2016. Also, we leverage a market opportunity to issue through a private placement, a convertible bond with the term 2022 for $17.5 million, which help us size acquisition opportunities. And indeed, we completed two acquisitions in the second half of 2017. MeanTrust, for which we paid the equivalent in dollars of $4.7 million as an upfront payment, and Cypher Media in Los Angeles, for which we paid an upfront payment of $7 million. Overall, the company cash position increased by close to $19 million in 2017. And is now at $46 million. This being said, I will hand over to Amedeo, who will give us some comments on the outlook for 2018 and beyond. Amedeo?
Okay, thank you, Richard. So we explained the positioning of Insight Secure, that is positioning what we call end device into the electronic industry. So the end device is the devices that are connected to the whole system and whole environment. So we are capitalizing on our proprietary technologies, and now we are using this leverage that we have for our strong position on our proprietary technology at a chip level and to application level to enlarge the portfolio, because we started a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, just concentrating on the mobile phone as a device, but now we are securing many other devices. I mentioned even printers, meters, and many other devices that are all part of the new ecosystem. So if you go to page 25, there is a clear slide that shows, you know, in the horizontal we have all the let's say market, and in the vertical we have let's say product offer, that is a silicon IP, data communication, application protection, and content protection. And you see that in every given market we can sell all our product portfolio in order to grow vertically within the customer that with who we are engaging our business. So in the past, InsightSecure had a different business with different markets, and now we bundle together our offer to penetrate more vertically each industry. We also changed the organization. Maybe this is a detail for you, but we now have marketing for segment, for in the past we did not have a function of business development per every segment. So in the automotive, in the banking, in the entertainment, so that will help us to bundle all our technology and to offer to this market segment the maximum we can do in order to become more, as the French say, incontournable to this client. So 2018, we want to invest more because we have structured the sales force and the marketing in 2017. We have more figures to hire into the marketing, but we will invest more into the R&D to sustain the strong top-line revenue growth that we see in front of us. This year probably the EBITDA will decline, but because of our choice. You know, it's my choice personally to improve, to invest more in people and in marketing in order to penetrate and accelerate the growth. Let's say that we indicate that our what we call normative EBITDA to be above in the future 20% line, which is the EBITDA that we deserve in our top line strong market growth company into the software environment. So we will, as I said, we will have accelerated investment in R&D and sales and marketing, and we continue to scouting for acquisition to accelerate the execution of our roadmap to become a 360 degrees security offer in our domain, that is the IoT, the mobile devices, and the automotive. So if you like now to go with the questions, we are open to answer to any question you may have.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that if you wish to ask a question, please press 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad. We have a first question from Stéphane Houri. Sir, please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Good evening. Congratulations for the strong Q4. I just wanted to come back a little bit on this Q4, where obviously you had some catch-up of royalties of an important US customer. Can you say a little bit more about the level of those royalties on Q4 and on a full year basis? And alluding to the comment that you're making in the outlook part of your press release, you're saying that you have no guarantee that the royalties will be at the level of 2016 and 17. Can you say a little bit more? Do you think that it will be like zero, or that you have, it is just that you have no visibility at all on the level that the client needs?
Let's say that these royalties in 2017 have been 25%, 23% lower than in 2016. And therefore, that's why without this taking into account of these royalties, we said that our real growth for the business was 20% year on year. For the future, unfortunately, this client doesn't make any forecast. It doesn't give any forecast because it's in a particular segment of the industry. And they don't give any indication. We foresee some revenue still, but we don't know how big it will be.
Okay, so you're not saying you're not going to get any more revenues from these people, but you don't know how big it will be.
Yeah.
No, there will be some revenue, but we don't know how big it is because, unfortunately, you know, they are very secretive about what they do, and it's a government working for the U.S. government, and they don't give indication. But we are sure that this year we will have some revenue already, even in Q1.
So it's indeed a question of visibility to us. They don't provide, in fact, they don't report on past volume of products that they ship that embed our technology. They do place purchase order, which are kind of prepaid royalties, and they consume the rights, so to speak, over a period of time that they don't tell us, because they don't want to tell us what volumes they drive over which period of time. I mean, bearing in mind it's a defense industry. So it's really a lack of visibility on our side, which leads us to be prudent or cautious, because, I mean, we had not anticipated 3 years ago that this revenue would be so significant over time, because they were going to be so successful with their own product. So indeed, at the end of Q2, when we re-communicated on our half-year earnings, we were cautious. Nevertheless, we enjoyed strong royalties from them in Q3, and same again in Q4. But I mean, the legendary prudence of Amedeo leads us to say, okay, let's focus on what we can drive, which is new license business from existing customer and new customer, and this is really our key KPI for managing the business.
Okay, so if I read well your press release, basically you are banking on an acceleration of the business, of the rest of the business. Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so compared to the 20% growth that you already had.
Guidance on the 2018 figures.
We expect the top line to grow. Besides the behavior of this big American client, we expect the top line to grow.
Okay.
Of course, the percentages you try to push us to give a market guidance, the percentage of growth depends a bit of this account. That is a predictable behavior. But even without him, we think to grow.
Okay.
We will grow even, you know, even if he doesn't give us any business.
No, sure, but I was not hoping that you will give me a clear guidance for the top line, but as I'm reading the press release, it is written with accelerated growth in the core business revenue. So
you're reading well. So okay. Your implied math is correct.
Okay. Okay, good. Thank you. And so back on the on the OPEX. So to be honest, the level of OPEX was lower than I thought in 2017. But you are saying that you are increasing them by about 10 million, which is a big amount of money, higher than the amount that you paid for some acquisition, so it can be considered as an acquisition in a way. But where do you want to put the money? In which domain do you foresee opportunities at this stage?
Yeah. So let me elaborate a bit on your math. No, it's much lower than the 10 million increase you mentioned. If you take H2 2017 as a benchmark and you multiply by two, then you will add, unfortunately, the negative impact of a stronger euro against dollar. You remember that our revenues are denominated in dollar, but most of the operating expense, because of our operations in the Netherlands, in Finland, and in France, our operating expenses are mainly in euro. So this has an impact on our bottom line of $2 million, given the hedging strategy we have in place. Plus also, we are adding $3.5 million of incremental operating expense from the two acquired business, so that's why we are guiding rather to closer to a $39 million target for 2018. As we said in the then you have on the areas of investment. So keep on going on sales and marketing, and in particular marketing, and also what I made to explain is about bundling products. So we have core technologies, we start to have solutions, we have software security as a service, and what we do, what we want to do is become more and more strategic to our customers and not sell only bricks or components, but leverage the different product offering we have across the company to increase the revenue per unit and also the stickiness of our presence with our customers and the level of visibility. This is the kind of areas in terms of investment that we want to do. Medo, maybe you want to comment further?
No, but you said clearly, for myself, it's quite clear. You know, we strengthened the technology we had, our product, the sales force. Now this is the year of the marketing and the bundle, in the sense that we have to package our products better, not only to sell embedded security bricks, but to sell solutions and start to do services. So we have to invest in order to have this offer to be, you know, quite easy for the customer to use, because at the end of the day, if you sell a security and you make the customer upset because it's too complicated, or, you know, we have to facilitate the utilization of security technology into the ecosystem, and we need to build more knowledge per segment and to have a bundled solution with all our technology per each segment. That is where we are going to spend the money this year.
Okay. A housekeeping question. Could you, you gave us the split of sales between licenses, royalties, maintenance, as usual. Can you also give us the split of sales with application protection, content protection, silicon IP, secure protocol, this year again?
So license revenue was $9 million out of the $39 million. The royalties were $23.6 million, if I'm not mistaken, out of $38.8 million. And then you've got maintenance, development agreements, and some subscription fee that we start to get for $6.9 million. Then the vast majority of the revenue is coming from the silicon IP and secure protocol business, and the rest from the application and content protection protection piece. Two-third, one-third, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Okay, and with your cash, net cash 45.9 million, do you have any acquisition target in the pipeline that we may see in the coming weeks, months? Are you continuing on that trend?
Yes, so we are, and it was one of the, actually the last bullet point of the outlook for 2018. Indeed, we continue to be scouting, so to speak, for acquisitions. So to address your question, so not in weeks, but hopefully, yes, in the course of the year, we are hopeful to close acquisitions. And obviously, I mean, we would like to do things that, I mean, could be game changers for us, but at least have a significant impact on the top line in order not to have to multiply the acquisition of core technologies and having to develop those businesses. Even if we are very happy so far with what we have done with our friends in Los Angeles and those in Helsinki and Hulu.
Okay. And maybe last question before I leave the floor. The licenses revenue are up 37% this year. Do you see first a good transformation rate from those licenses into royalties? And second, do you see a slowdown in for any reason in the growth of those new licenses?
So for the first part of your question, most of the new businesses could be new customers, but it can be new projects with existing customers. You know, they want to add a new security feature that we offer as an IP or as a software, or a new product that they develop, and typically we license for one product at the commercial side. So we are enjoying repeat business with existing customers. Most of the new businesses we generated in 2017 was with our Silicon IP business. So as you know, these customers are semiconductor companies. So the conversion rate from a license to a royalties really depends on the time for them to complete their design, have the chip qualified to customers and start being mass manufactured and sold to their own customers. So it could be 6 months to 12 months or 18 months in some cases. So it's not very short term. While on other businesses like content protection, it's more, I mean, the basic content protection piece, the DRM piece we provide is more plug and play, and the customers go live much faster. So the conversion rate is much faster. And so far on the application protection piece, we are selling mostly licenses. And for the recurring revenue is more in the form of maintenance fee, typically 18% of the underlying license fee. So this is to give you some color. So then second part of your question, any slowdown of the rate of growth of licenses? Not so far, even if 37% new license year on year is, I mean, as you can imagine, it's a lot of work from our sales team and field application engineers and so on. We are having a good traction so far.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Stéphane.
Thank you.
Next question from Johan de Gast. Sir, please go ahead.
Hi. Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Hello. Yes. Good afternoon. And I have a question about the NFC program. Hello?
Oui, oui.
Yes, on the NFC NFC program, I thought that there was some upfront from Samsung left, and so that was my first question. And last year you said also that there was. You were expected something from a major company from either in 2017 or at worst 2018. So I wanted to know if it's still on the way or...
Okay, so first question of yours on the Samsung license, which was signed by France Brevet in Q2 of 2016.
Yes.
It's a term license, a multi-year license, and we have recognized, according to IFRS, the full amount of the multi-year license upfront. So all the revenue. $10 million was booked as a revenue by Inside in Q2 2016. Nevertheless, as we explained, there was a cash component because Samsung wanted, and it's okay with France Brevet and with us, to pay in three installments. So they did pay at signing in July, actually, so 1 month after signing in July 2016. Then they made another payment in July 2017, and they will make a last one in 2018. But again, it's more a cash matter than a revenue recognition one. So again, full license taken in revenue in 2016. So unfortunately, we cannot, so to speak, spread the butter on the bread, on the tartine. Then for your second question, France Brevet is working hard indeed on signing new licenses, Asia in particular. Nevertheless, I mean the calendar is quite sensitive. These are negotiations which can be in the context of court matter or purely out of court, more so to speak amicable solution, and it's difficult for us to predict and to have visibility on the timing.
Yes, okay. And I have another question about the content protection. Do you plan anything on blockchain project? Because you see, there is a lot of hacking around these technologies, and I don't know if you have any plan or
for content protection. What we are doing, we are expanding our offer to increase the security at different level, like to access to early window release, that is movies that are still in the movie theater that will be distributed, so they need a high security. So we are working on that to offer a solution for early window release. We are offering a solution in anti-rogue device detection, in anti-block, ADI advertisement block, and things like this. This is a traditional, anyway, software technology. What we are doing is what we are studying there is to do more some analytic big data to be able to resell data that we have about the usage of video on demand, so that we can resell to the studio data about who is watching what, and it is interesting. But application with the blockchain into the content protection, as far as I know, there is no one working on it because there is no requirement really for blockchain in content protection. In blockchain, you can use in many other applications, around certificate, about transaction, but on content protection, as far as I know, there is not, we are not working on it.
So again, I mean, our key positioning is to secure when you take a cloud and endpoint environment or client-server environment, we are focusing on the client piece, on the endpoint piece. The blockchain is quite different because it's a distributed kind of chain of trust. However, what we could provide to a blockchain platform is a security component at the very beginning of the transaction. When you start to be a member of a blockchain, you need to ascertain who you are. Mainly it's based on file, on paper, and your identity could be secure. So we could be asked to provide those obfuscation software and other components like that. At this stage, this is what we can comment on blockchain.
Yes, okay, thank you. And, well, I have just one another question. It's about the shareholders. There is Palladio Holding that has bought significant shares. Have you had any how would you say not comment?
You can ask in French.
So sorry.
Yeah, no, you can ask in French if you feel more comfortable.
Ouais. Est-ce que vous avez eu une lettre d'intention de Palladio Holding comme quoi il pensait monter plus au capital ou pas du tout? Ou c'est resté complètement
Palladio Holding declared earlier in 2017 that they have reached the threshold of 5%. Under French securities law, until you reach 10%, you are not bound to give any indication of your future intentions. So Palladio being an investment fund, kind of mutual fund, traditional one, investing in listed companies, they don't provide their... that don't provide their investment strategy, but obviously we welcome this shareholder, but have no further visibility other than that.
Yes. Okay. Well, but thank you for your answers and congratulations for the year, and
thank
see you,
you
next time, I suppose.
Okay.
Thank you.
We don't have any more questions for the moment. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad. We don't have any more questions.
Okay. So if there are no more questions, we can stop the call here and thank to all the participants who have participated to this 2017 results call. Thank you to all.
And goodbye.
Bye.
This concludes the conference call. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.